Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were both priests through and through, dyed in the wool, priests among priests. Zechariah, he had devoted his whole life to serving as a priest, as a part of the order of Abijah. He had even served for a time in the temple of Jerusalem itself, no small honor that would not be afforded to every priest. And his wife, Elizabeth, she too was of the priestly caste, from a family with impeccable pedigree. She was descended from Aaron. Aaron, that is Moses' right-hand man. Aaron, that is the founder of the entire priesthood in Israel. The coiner of such phrases as, may God bless you and keep you. That Aaron. She was descended from him. Now, their family life revolved entirely around the priesthood, caring for the temple, maintaining the religious life of the people, learning and practicing the complex and arcane rituals of religious and cultural life. They were devoted to it, doing everything just right. It was said of them that they were righteous in all things, in all things. But there was one thing that priests were supposed to do that Elizabeth and Zechariah had not done. Priests were supposed to have children and teach those children that they should be priests as well. This was how the priestly order continued itself. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had no children. They had been married long years, and they had waited and hoped for a child. They had prayed for a child. They had prayed in the temple. They helped maintain that a child would come to them. They had dreamed and stargazed about this child the way that anyone would talk to family or neighbors about what they hoped for their family. Zechariah, he could take the child out on clear nights to be able to read the stars so that where others would see fish or goats, this child could see a map of time moving, of the months and years passing and of ages to come. Elizabeth, she could give the child lessons in reading Hebrew and studying the cycle of the festival so that where others would see piles of musty, incomprehensible scrolls, this child could read the story of the people's salvation. If it was a boy, they were going to name him Zechariah, after his father. They dreamed and dreamed. But dreams that stay dreams too long, they start to fray. And hope that remains nothing more than hope for too long begins to bring more pain than it does joy. And people start to give up hope just to be free from the disappointment. Had Elizabeth and Zechariah given up hope for a child? Maybe. If they had, no one could fault them. They had waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. Until one day, an otherwise ordinary day, an otherwise unremarkable day, Zechariah was fulfilling his duties in the temple, lighting incense while people gathered to worship and pray. And on an ordinary day, an angel appeared before Zechariah, the angel Gabriel, who says, I stand in the very presence of God. An angel appears to Zechariah bearing the most welcome of news. They were to have a son. A child was to be born to them. The family line was going to be able to continue. Zechariah, no doubt, was ready to rush home to Elizabeth. This was literally an answer to their prayers. But the angel wasn't finished. Wasn't finished about this message about the child. This child was not going to be a priest. The child was not going to care for the temple, but would live out in the wilderness. This child would not dress in priest's robes, but in rough-hewn camel's hair. The child would not eat of the sacrificial bread, but would eat locusts and wild honey. The child would not care for the traditions and festivals of the faithful. The child would herald the coming of a new era for the faith, would announce the coming of someone both ancient of days and green as new grass. The child would not be named Zechariah after his father, but John. John, who was to be called the baptizer, who would not live the life of a priest, who would not live a life of peace, but who would come to a violent end at the hands of the corrupt, simply for telling the truth. This was the vision given by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, who stands in the very presence of God, gives this message to Zechariah, and bless him, Zechariah did not believe it. Zechariah did not believe it because who would want to? Who would want to believe something like this? Elizabeth and Zechariah, priests among priests, they would have a child, but this child would not be at all what they had dreamed. Not at all. Elizabeth and Zechariah. They lived out, they learned something true and hard about what it means to raise children. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they wanted a child in order that they might continue the tradition of the priests, that this child might do with his life what they had done with their lives. This was a dream that was dear and precious to them. But they had to choose. What would they value more? What would they value more? Their dreams for who their child might be? Or the person their child would become? Which would they value more? Zechariah and Elizabeth learned this lesson earlier than most, it is true. They were pushed into it, forced into it. They had to choose when their child was 8 days old. What would they call him? Zechariah? Or John? They learned it early, that's true. But the lesson they learned is a fundamental one to anyone raising children. That is that a child is not bound to follow their parents' wishes, to fulfill their parents' dreams. To raise a child, it is to be filled with hopes and dreams for what that child might be, hopes and dreams that are dear and precious. Yet to raise a child, it is to need, to willingly discard those dreams in favor of who the child actually becomes. A parent hopes that their child will be an athlete. The bookworm is the one who must be embraced. A parent hopes that their child will be a healthy, outdoorsy, roughhousing type who always has dirt under their fingernails and a bloody nose from who knows what this time. The sickly child, perpetually in and out of hospitals, this is the one who needs to be reassured that they are not a disappointment. A parent calls their child a boy and raises a boy and dreams of the man they'll one day become. The girl, afraid to tell a single living soul the name she calls herself in the dark hours. She is the one who must be kissed and swept up and given a song of praise. Blessed be the God of my life who has given me this daughter. To raise a child, it is to love the person that they become more highly than any dreams about them. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they learn this lesson earlier than most. But the lesson is fundamental to raising children, and it is fundamental not only to those who raise children. It is fundamental also to any who would call themselves a Christian. We Christians who would dare to call God our Father. We who would dare to call God our Mother. We who have the gumption to call ourselves children of God. We Christians. This is some part of what we mean when we say that. That God is a father, the way Zechariah is a father. God is a mother, the way Elizabeth is a mother. God loves us as the people we really are, more than who we might someday become. This has got to be hard for God, I imagine, because God knows better than I do what is good for me. And it is true that God has dear and precious hopes for how I might live my life, what I might do with myself, what the world might be like if I would only. It must be hard for God, because I fall short every single day, and God loves me all the more in my failures. God loves me all the more in my failures because then I need it the most. God loves me all the more when I do not know which way to turn. God loves me all the more when I do not know which way to turn because it is then that God's loving counsel can come like a whisper. God has dreams for me, and God loves me more than any of those possibilities. Like Elizabeth, like Zechariah, like a loving mother, like a doting father, God loves you for who you are. Not merely who you might one day be or who you might have been with a world of what-ifs. God will not try to force you to be someone you are not. God would never. God will not discard you as of no worth if you do not live your whole life just so. If it is with skinned knees and bruises from falling flat on your face, if it is with pride on your heart for having accomplished something that everyone around you told you you were not suited to do, if it is with tears on your face looking back on something that you wish you had never done, that you wish you had never even set a foot on the path of doing, if you just call out, then God will sweep you up into her arms, and there will not be a single, I told you so, there will not be a single, what did I tell you about? The only thing you'll hear, the very first thing you'll hear, tell me.